Remember that moment at Francine's wedding when your sister and her new husband exited the church and a flock of doves ascended toward the heavens, signifying God's blessing on their marriage? Well, what you don't realize is that I starved those birds for 2 days prior to the wedding so that their tiny little bird intestinal tracts would be clear and they wouldn't leave droppings on the wedding party. Oh, I also agitated each of them individually with a hat pin in order to assure that they would fly away swiftly with no intention of returning. My point in relating all this is that I know how important one's wedding day is.
That was the voice of Atlanta actor Joe Howarth Noonan performing The Groom's Cake by Topher Payne on stage in 2015. That turned out to be her last public performance. Howarth's life and work are being celebrated with a festival this weekend. Jo began acting in her 20s, but she put that burgeoning career on hold to start a family. When she returned to the stage, Jo found a surprising creative renaissance. At a stage of life when most female actors are ushered into involuntary retirement, Jo died unexpectedly in 2015, and now there is a foundation and a festival which bear her name. We have board president and Jo's husband, Patrick Noonan, Atlanta playwright Topher Payne, and playwright Margaret Baldwin joining us. Welcome to City Lights.
Good morning,
Lois.
Good morning.
Glad to be here.
Would you introduce us to Jo?
Oh, gosh.
Well, let me start. Jo was my wife for 30 years. We were friends for 40 years, and we had met in the schoolyard, actually, 50 years before she died. She's the mother of our two great children, and a lot of people in the community and the audience know her as an actress, as a friend of the theater, friend of the arts, and a friend of so many things in our community.
Topher, you knew her well professionally.
I did. Jo was my most frequent collaborator. And there was, for a period of about 15 years, there was nothing that I presented to the world that didn't pass across her kitchen counter first. Mm-hmm. And we would do readings over the phone and on the back patio. And I met her when I was 22 years old and was just trying to get noticed as a playwright. And it happened to coincide with the moment that this extraordinary artist was returning to the stage. And when we started out, we were both working for free for anybody that would let our voices contribute to a project, and supported each other throughout.
Sounds like it was mutually beneficial.
Heck yeah, it was.
Patrick, please tell us about the work of the foundation and how you came to honor Jo's memory in this way.
Well, the foundation is new, and the event we'll be talking about tomorrow, the Mojo Fest, is our first public activity. It's a bit of our coming out, coalescing what we're going to do. But the idea would be to try to carry on something about Jo, honor her as a person, honor her as an artist in some way. And honestly, the inspiration for our focus, which is to create more roles for women, actresses over 40, and to in general promote women in theater, particularly older women, really came from Topher. After Jo died, which, as you said, was a sudden, unexpected thing, while we were still really in shock of all this and trying to think about what can we do. She loved theater so much. Always did. She was a real professional. She honored the craft. She honored the profession, and she always held herself and others to standards of what it meant and the privilege of being in theater. But it was her passion. We thought, well, you know, we should make some donations in her name to Atlanta Theaters. And it was Topher, really, who said, that's great. However, Joe was more than that. And I hadn't quite appreciated it. And I think a lot of us didn't quite appreciate it, is that she was somebody who came back and that she represented in her determination to come back to the stage and participate the challenges that women face, and women in every profession, in every walk of life, face enormous headwinds in what they do. And in theater, there were some additional ones. And it was Topher's idea that said, "Wait a minute, let's come up with something that focuses a little bit more on what she did, and what women like her all around Atlanta and around the country deal with. What can we do to honor her by supporting that?"
So the Mojo Fest takes place tomorrow in Woodstock and includes 5 newly commissioned plays, in addition to prominent roles for mature women. What else were you looking for with these works?
Well, when Joe was an understudy on the Alliance Theater's production of Steel Magnolias in 2014, I believe that was, and one of the things she talked about then was how delightful it was to be in a room full of women who are normally competing for the same role. And what an amazing creative experience being directed by Judith Ivey in that show, Susan Booth as artistic director, and having this room full of amazing female creative energy. And that really is a rarity.
Topher, we've talked about this before, about how you honor women over 40 with roles that are multifaceted. And, you know, why are we still having this conversation when we've got Meryl Streep and Helen Mirren and fill in the blanks? There are a few more. But why in theater in particular, which is, I think, always been more progressive than film, at least in America.
Absolutely.
Are these women's voices still relatively scarce?
Oh, heck, I wonder that every day, because these women certainly make me look good. And you know, I think we could have an extended conversation about why women's voices tend to struggle to find position in creative enterprise and really in enterprise.
And some of it, if I may say, is also just it's beating that larger perception, particularly from the standpoint of a playwright, of you've got to be, you know, people are looking for the next young, hot thing, and all the festivals are geared toward the next new voice. And new voices are really important. I teach at a university. I'm supporting new voices a lot, and I think that's essential. But I remember going to a Kennedy Center event in 2011 and having a talk with an agent, a big name agent, and someone asked, you know, okay, so we're not a new writer, but we don't have an agent yet. And she said, well, if you're over 28, don't even try. Because the agents only want people that are going to then make a name for them in TV. And I thought, what a shame that the people who come to the most complex part of lives and who are starting to see this bigger picture and starting to understand how to get through life with humor and really touch all these different aspects of the human experience, that all of a sudden those voices are not as valued. And that they need to go sit on the side of the room. And I thought, well, at least in theater, at least in Atlanta, we have opportunity to share. We have a community, and I feel very fortunate in Atlanta that there is an open community here that supports all kinds of voices. But I do think there's a perception somehow that it's not cool.
And one of the things we wanted to do with Mojo Fest, we have the extraordinary debut of these new 10-minute pieces by Sherry Paulson, Suhaila Elatar, Penny Mickleberry, myself, and Pamela Turner, as well as the reading of a full length by Margaret. But what we wanted to do with the event of Mojo Fest itself was get a posse together and get these gals in the same room. And if your numbers are strong, then your mission becomes much more achievable. And we really wanted to get that conversation started.
If you're just joining us, this is City Lights. I'm Lois Reitz, is here with you, Patrick Noonan, playwrights Topher Payne and Margaret Baldwin, talking about the Mojo Fest. We'll be back after a short break.
Support for WABE comes from Clayton State Spivey Hall, presenting soprano Mia Pearson and baritone Florian Bosch, together with pianist Malcolm Martineau with a program by Franz Schubert, Saturday, March 25th at 7:30 p.m. Info at spiveyhall.org.
You're listening to City Lights on WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. Topher Payne, your work in the festival is named after my neighborhood, Morningside. Will my house be in it? Will my dog be featured?
Absolutely, absolutely. I just decided to basically write this one for an audience of one, Lois.
Will you give us a synopsis?
My piece, Morningside, and Margaret and I were joking about this earlier because I will now describe both my play and Margaret's. It is a play that takes place in a Morningside neighborhood and centers on a baby shower being thrown under the worst possible circumstances. And the delight in Margaret's full length and in my 10-minute, which we wrote having no idea what the other was writing, is where two playwrights' brains can diverge and converge on that single idea.
Well, Margaret, you were talking about this fabulous community we have. Your play, Coyote Hour, is the one full-length play in the festival. How did you become involved with the festival, with the foundation?
With the foundation, well, I got an email from Shelley McCook, and she said, we have this festival going on. Do you would you be willing to share your play, Coyote Hour? It's a piece I've been working on a few years, and I had most recently a reading at Actors Express as part of their Threshold series in December that was really wonderful. And so I shared it, and they said, well, we'd love to have you be a part of this. And so that was, it was a lucky email. And then when I heard about the festival and what it was about, I thought, oh, this is wonderful, because it does, I think this is the first in a series of neighborhood plays that I want to do that really do feature women's stories.
Yes.
Topher, Margaret said that she did not have the pleasure of knowing Joe personally, but clearly aligns in spirit with everything she represented. How would you sum up, in the little time we have left, Joe's impact on your writing?
I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Joe taught me the delight and pleasure of struggling to communicate, that the effort and the maddening sense of trying to get this right, trying to find a way to make your message clearer, to make it palatable, was the lesson she taught me as an artist, absolutely, and I think also as a person. She was always the person that showed up with cookies in rehearsal. She was the self-appointed den mother of Write Club Atlanta and of every rehearsal process she ever participated in. And to have people, you know, Patrick, in planning the event, the series of yeses that we got speaks not only to the mission, but really also to the blessing and the grace of Jo herself and the energy that she created that turns out is eminently sustainable. And having Jill Patrick and Shelley McCook, who we cannot express our gratitude sufficiently for the amount of work that they have put into this, who did know her personally and knew the energy that we were trying to create and go global, dang it.
Well, it sounds like she was just an amazing spirit, and congratulations to you, Patrick, for beginning the foundation and honoring her legacy this way, along with playwrights Topher Payne and Margaret Baldwin. Mojo Fest takes place tomorrow at the Elm Street Cultural Arts Village in Woodstock and begins at 12:30 in the afternoon. Thank you again.
Thanks, Lois. Great to see you.